This is part B of Who is to Blame? Now we're here in Jeremiah 23, and let's pick it up here in verse 28. Let's see what God says. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, whoever has the word of God, we all need to listen up. Let him speak my word faithfully. That's what needs to be done. No political messages, no soothing messages to kowtow to the majority of people who are sinners, who flock in numbers to the mega churches, etc. No. He who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Just the way God intended it to be. Now continuing. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire? And what is the ultimate that God says is going to happen to sinners? His word says they shall die the second death in the lake of fire. So ultimately, that's the end result, says the Lord. And like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Now notice verse 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets who steal my words, each one from his neighbor. See, if you go into the Bible, anyone who's a minister, preacher, teacher, elder of the Word of God, stop and think just a minute. If you go into the Word of God and you derive your own ideas and superimpose them over the Word of God, and you take some of the Word of God to give it credibility that it came from the Bible, you are stealing the words of God, and as Isaiah said in chapter 5, and you cast the law of God behind you, you better stop and think about it, because God's judgment is going to come. He says, behold, I am against the prophets who use their tongues and say, he says, when I did not say. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams and tell them, and cause my people to go astray by their lies and their wantonness. Yet I did not send them nor command them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or the priest shall ask you, saying, what is the oracle of the Lord? You shall say to them, what oracle? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people who shall say, the oracle of the Lord, this is the word of the Lord, this is my wonderful Sunday message based upon this lovely text, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus you shall say, each one to his neighbor and each one to his brother, what is the Lord answered, or what has the Lord spoken? You shall mention the oracle of the Lord no more, for every man's word becomes his own oracle. Everyone does what is right in his own eyes, and he thinks he is just, and he thinks he is right, and he thinks that he knows God, and he thinks that his way that he superimposes on the Word of God is better than the Word of God, which it is not. Notice. For you have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts our God. That's who's to blame. Thus shall you say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you? And what has the Lord spoken? But since you say the oracle of the Lord, therefore thus says the Lord, because you say this word, the oracle of the Lord, after I sent to you, saying, you shall not say the oracle of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, says God, will completely forget you. I will forsake you and the city that I gave to you and your fathers, and will cast you out of my presence, and I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. let's ask a couple of questions here. Did that happen to Jerusalem and Judah? Did they not go into captivity to Babylon? Yes, they did. Did he not destroy the city in 586 BC? Yes, he did. Did he not do it also in 70 AD after rejecting the Savior, Jesus Christ? Yes, he did. Now think about it. All of those of us who live in the Western civilization, as we could coin the term, we profess God. We have His Word. We say we are Christian. But yet we go our own ways and drag the name of God through the mud. And then we wonder why these conditions exist, and we wonder why our nation is going through what it is, and we wonder how is it possible that there will be such a thing as a World Bank and a Mark of the Beast and all of this? See, because people are so far removed from the truth, so far removed from what is right, so far away from God. Though they claim God, though they profess in God, but remember this. James wrote, "You believe in God? You do well. For even the demons believe and tremble in fear." So belief in God isn't going to get you anywhere. You have to believe God and live by His laws and commandments in His grace and in His love. So we've seen what's happened. We see how it is. We see the way that the world is. Now let's add just a little bit more to this. Let's look at some Psalms, and then we'll look at some Proverbs, and we will finish putting the whole picture together. Now, as you look out in the world, especially whenever there's a campaign, political campaign going on, let's read here in Psalm 62 and verse 9. "Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. When weighed in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity." It says here, "Trust not in oppression, become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them." God has spoken once, twice I have heard this. That power belongs to God. So when it gets down to the riches, you see, if they don't do it the way God says, then they're going to be allowed to have their own way. And then it's going to come upon everyone. And notice here is a promise from God. "Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you give to every man according to his work." Now let's look at a perfect description of the coming economic deception that is going to come upon the nations of the world by evil men. "Why do you boast yourself in evil, O mighty man? The mercy of God endures forever." What a comparison, right? Yes, indeed. "Your tongue devises evil like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking righteousness." Selah, which means meditate on this. Does this not describe the underlying problems with all of the world's banks and stock markets? Yes, indeed. Verse 4, "You love all devouring words, O deceitful tongue. God will likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your place and root you out of the land of the living." Not just the tongue, but the person who has that kind of tongue. "The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying." So again, here's a promise for the righteous. See, because whenever there is a trouble to be talked about and shown what is wrong, then God also gives some hope to the righteous and encouragement. So take it. Verse 7, here's what we'll be saying. "Behold, the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. He strengthened himself in his wickedness." And that spread all around the world in bad loans, bad finances, lying people from top to bottom, bankers to borrowers to international financiers, the whole thing. But for the righteous, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I will trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Now let's come back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 32, page 526. Isaiah 32, page 526. Let's pick it up here in verse 6. And let's apply this to the political and to the religious and to the economic systems. Let's pick it up here in verse 6. For the fool will speak folly, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to speak error against the Lord, and to make the soul of the hungry empty, and he will take away the drink of the thirsty. Also the weapons of the fool are evil. He thinks of evil ways to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaks right. So what does that result in? Look at what kind of society has been developed while we profess to be a Christian nation. Or Western civilization, we are a Christian civilization. And hardly have they ever thought as to why God has raised up those to infiltrate the country and take it over, the strangers rising up above us very high. Why God has done that? He hasn't just allowed it. God does not allow. He causes. And he prophesied that it would be. Why? Now, isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame for those who profess Jesus Christ and Christianity and those who have the truth of the Bible, God's Word, right in their house, maybe many copies, that we, as those who profess to be the people of God as a nation, and we might as well, even with the churches of God, look at our own selves too, that the heathen religion of Islam has been raised up as an instrument of correction by God, because we have ended up more wicked and sinful than they. What an ironic thing, isn't it? Now, Pat Buchanan wrote the book, The Death of Western Civilization. And in it he wrote that the Muslims are going to take over and rule if we continue the way that we are going. And that will surely happen. And even in the United Kingdom, they are worried now that the majority population will be Muslim in a few years, and that even one of the religious leaders in England said, well, what we ought to do is allow the Muslim community to have Sharia law. Now think about that from the home of where the English Bible originated. What a shame. What a shame. What has happened in all these centuries and years? What are people thinking of? Well, here's what we've developed. It's not that God has gone away. God hasn't gone away. But we as the peoples who are supposed to be the people of God and have the Word of God have gone astray. Now notice verse 1, Isaiah 59, page 547. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. You see, the problem is not with God. The problem is with human beings who disbelieve God, disobey God, reject his laws and commandments, go about their evil and their sinfulness, and stand up and wipe their mouths and say, I haven't done anything wrong. God looks at it differently. Verse 2, but your iniquities have come between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood. And that starts right in the abortion clinic. Quite a picture was shown in the Washington Times here, this last issue, where there was an advertisement concerning the allowance of abortion, and a political party whose leader believes in infanticide, and even when there was a woman who survived a botched abortion, gave a ringing testimony against such practices. I thought it was quite eloquent. But this picture in the Washington Times showed the severed foot of a tiny little baby that had been chopped up and pulled out of its mother's womb. Times that by 50 million just in the United States. And look at Europe, and look at the Soviet Union, and look at China. Look at the whole world. Wonder where God is? Wonder why it's going into evil? You wonder why we are going to end up with a dictatorial world government and a world bank and a world system that polices everyone with a chip in the right hand or in the forehead? And people ask, well, why is God going to allow this? Because the world has become so evil. Your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has uttered perverseness. None calls for justice, nor does anyone plead for truth. No, they all want their vain, sinful, idiotic, political and religious position. And the one who speaks the truth is ridiculed and investigated and castigated. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs and weave spider's webs. He who eats their eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. That's no way for success. That is the destruction of people. See, there is what is called a tipping point. And the tipping point is this, that a certain trend continues and develops and develops and develops and develops and gradually encompasses more of a society. And evil gains the prominence and righteousness loses its influence. And then it reaches a tipping point, just like a teeter-totter. And the middle where the teeter-totter is grounded is the tipping point. And we are right now past the equilibrium position and tipping more toward evil than ever before. And these ways are going to result not in any goodness at all. So God says here, verse 6, their web shall not become clothing, nor shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. They have not known the way of peace, and there is no justice in their ways. Whoever goes there in them shall not know peace. Therefore, now here it shows the feeling of many people today. They don't know what is wrong. They are frustrated. They are fearful. They are wondering what is going on, how can anything ever be made right? And here it is described right here in Isaiah 59 and verse 9. Therefore justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We wait for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. We don't know where we're going, see, because we've turned our backs on God. That's why these things are going to come down upon us. That's why there is going to be a world government and a world bank and a world currency and eventually the mark of the beast. We grope along the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. Among those who are strong, we are like dead men. We all roar like bears and mourn grievously like doves. Doesn't that describe a lot of people hoping everything's going to work out? But it never does. We look for justice, but there is none. We look for salvation, yet it is far from us. And here's why. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. They know what is wrong. But the forces of evil are so powerful that it's hard for anyone to do anything. Because here's why. In rebellion and denial of the Lord and in turning away from our God, talking perversity and revolt, conceiving and speaking from the heart, words of falsehood. Now, when you speak from the heart words of falsehood, it sounds like the truth. And it sounds so sincere. But now we are dealing with people who are so slick in their way of speaking that even perversion sounds good. Isn't that amazing? And justice is driven backward and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street and uprightness cannot enter because it's a victim. In any political campaign, truth is the victim. Verse 15, yea, truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it was evil in his eyes that there was no justice. So God's in touch with the world, prophesied what it would be like. Now, verse 16, he saw that there was no man and was astonished that there was no intercessor. What a perfect description of our world today. And all of this is going to lead to the greatest evil that will ever befall this nation and befall the world. Now, in the midst of all of this, let's understand that we need to keep our bearings. Let's understand that we need not be discouraged. Because if you love God and serve Him, God is on your side because you are on His side. See, God is not on our side automatically just because we call upon Him. First of all, we have to be on His side by loving Him and keeping His commandments. And then we are on His side, therefore He is for us. And when we study the Word of God and understand the things that we do and live by the Word of God, then we will be able to get through all the difficulties that may come our way. But we have to always trust in God in spite of all the circumstances. Now, there's one psalm that says, oh, that I were like a bird that I could fly away. It just get out of here. And I've talked to people who would any way to get out of the way that things are, but it just isn't going to happen. Jesus said, pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So we need to claim that promise, you see. Now, it's easy to get discouraged, and it's easy to think that things are not going to go right for you. You may have some problems and difficulties and things you need to overcome. That is true. But we need to take close attention to Psalm 73. And we need to understand that whatever the struggle, whatever the trial, whatever it is, that in the kind of society that we just read of in Isaiah 59, we are not to get carried away with it. We are not to give up. See, because what that means is that we gradually leave God. We are looking, in those cases, too much to the world and letting the world and the events drag us down rather than trusting and loving God. So Psalm 73 is a perfect description of this. Verse 1, page 736. Truly God is good to Israel, even to those who are pure of heart. So he starts out and he says, this is the fundamental truth. God is good even to those who are of a pure heart. So there we go. Now then he shows what happened when he got his mind off that and got his mind on looking at people who were successful in sin. And notice what happened to his attitude. Verse 2. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Isn't that something? And he looks at them, verse 4, there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble like other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And he's having a little pity party for himself. Therefore, pride is as a chain about their neck. Yes, they show off their wickedness and their evil, and violence covers them like a garment. How can this be? And their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than their heart could wish for. Look at what they have. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. Loftily they threaten. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how does God know? There's no God. God doesn't exist. You know, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And continuing now, verse 11, and is there knowledge in the Most High of what we do? We do this and get away with it. Behold, these are the wicked who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. I just say, all you have to do is look at all of the politicians and all of the rich people, all of the bankers, all of that. They are rich. They are rolling in money and they prosper in the world. But you know, they really have nothing. But here he continues with his pity party. Surely I've made my heart pure in vain. Now it starts out, you see, truly God is good to Israel, even to those who are pure of heart. So he said, surely I've made my heart pure in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Look at what I've done. Look at how I've been struggling. And then I look out and see all the things that are out there that these people have and I don't have. God, how can that be? For all the day I've been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. And when I thought to understand this, it was too painful for me. Now, this is a perfect description of those who are frustrated because of the world, the way things are going, religiously, politically, economically, everything. And you look and see, how can this be? Well, I'm trying to be a good person. Verse 17, here's how you understand it. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. So this was a priest, Asaph. He went into the sanctuary of God. Today we have authority to come into the sanctuary of God in heaven above, the Holy of Holies, through prayer and repentance and living God's way. So if you look at it from God's point of view, then you will understand. See? Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. So you need to look to the ultimate goal of the kingdom of God coming on this earth. And those who are the true saints of God have been called, chosen, selected to rule this world. And to and all this kind of behavior that is so frustrating as described here in Psalm 73. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down into destruction. How have they been brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. Like a dream when one awakens, so, O Lord, when you awaken, you shall despise their image. For thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my heart. Repentance. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was like a beast before you, to think that these things were so, to think that the prosperity of the wicked is something that I should envy and desire, and to look at my life and my struggles and my trials and have a little pity party for myself. Verse 23. Nevertheless, I am always with you. You have held me by your right hand. See, now remember that. God is for you. God is with you. God has called you. God will see you through every single thing, regardless if it is easy or whether it is hard or whether it is stressful. Verse 24, you shall guide me with your countenance and afterward receive me to glory. Think of that. Then he got his perspective, see? Whom have I in heaven but you? And beside you I desire none upon the earth. Now he got his orientation set in the right way. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, those who are far off from you shall perish. You have destroyed all who go whoring from you. And for me, now notice the end result of this. It is good for me to draw near to God. I will put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. This is quite a psalm, and this is one that really helps us get our bearing and where we need to go and what we need to do and how we need to analyze this evil, wicked world that we are living in. And as we see all of these momentous things come upon us, we know what to do. We know where to go. We know where our anchor is, as it were. And we know that God is there. We know that God will help us. We know that God is for us. And these things are the way that we need to live our lives and the way that we need to go forward in everything that there is. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.